Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. The college year is now comfortably underway. The first football games have been won and lost. Most of the freshman class of 2006 can now find its way to the library. Well, most of them. Now, if you talk to the parents of this class, the subject will very quickly swing to money, the high cost of tuition, as well as all that time spent in the last few years searching out scholarships. And that's where our story takes us this hour. See, there's a shift in the way that students qualify for scholarship money. More and more, the states are moving to a merit system where students get assistance if they get good grades. Some people are concerned that these scholarships are siphoning money away from those who really need it, that the old system of helping out underprivileged kids is being squeezed. Connection listeners, who deserves to get a college scholarship? Should the money go to students who can't afford college, or should it go to the students as a reward for their hard work, regardless of the family's income? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us today on the program is Patricia Marin. She edited a recent study that examines the impact of merit-based award programs. She's an associate researcher at the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University. We also have with us the man in charge of the HOPE Scholarship Program in Georgia. It's the largest and the oldest merit-based state scholarship program in the country. His name's Glenn Newsom, and we'll also talk with Christina Cedar. She is a freshman at Georgia Tech who recently received a HOPE Scholarship. Glenn Newsom, let's start with you. The HOPE program, I gather, is celebrating something of an anniversary this year.
Good morning, Dick. Yes, and we're glad to be here. We're celebrating our 10th year. This is the 10th class of the HOPE Scholarship program since the beginning of time, and the beginning of time for us was September 1993. Over 650,000 Georgians have received $1.6 billion in aid to go to school beyond high school.
Now, this is money, if I'm correct, that comes from a state lottery system. Is that right?
That is correct. It is totally lottery funded, and it is based on the student's academic achievement in high school. Students must have a B average in their core curriculum classes in high school, and they must maintain that B average once they get to college. We check that every 30 semester hours.
And if they do want to take money from the HOPE Scholarship Program, they have to go to school in Georgia. Is that right?
That is correct. You must be a Georgia resident, and you must have a B average, and you must go to school in Georgia.
And have you got any statistics that show how many more of those Georgian students have stuck around in the last 10 years as a result of that rule?
We don't track them after college, but we do know today that our enrollment in college or beyond high school is the highest ever. Also, our SAT scores for entering freshmen are the highest ever, and more Georgians than ever before are going to school beyond high school.
It sounds like a huge success.
It has been a tremendous success because it focuses on academic achievement and because it's about the student's academic achievement, not about the family's income. It says to the student, if you're willing to work, then there's a reward, and the reward is that we will let you go to Georgia and go to school. We'll pay you tuition and fees, give you a book allowance. If you want to go to a private college, we'll give you $3,000 towards your tuition in a private college as long as you go in Georgia.
Let's hear from Christina Cedar. Christina is a freshman at Georgia Tech and a HOPE Scholarship winner. She's on the line. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Congratulations on your scholarship.
Thank you so much.
Tell me how your year's starting out.
My year is starting out wonderfully, actually. I've been as busy as I could possibly be.
Now, you're at Georgia Tech because of the scholarship program, or would you have gone there anyway? How did it affect your life?
I am definitely in Georgia because of the HOPE Scholarship. I was very active in my high school career. I was in our student council, all sorts of different programs. I maintained a high GPA. Most of the colleges I started looking at about this time last year were out-of-state colleges, University of Alabama, University of South Carolina, Northwestern, Brown, places like that. Of course, scholarship time rolled around. I started looking at things and started looking at the HOPE paperwork and realized this is a good deal.
Now, don't let me get too personal here, Christina, but if the scholarship money had not come through, would your mom and dad have been able to afford to send you to university?
My mom and dad would have been able to do it, not comfortably.
Right.
They would have, my parents were always the people that would do whatever I wanted to do. If I wanted to do it, they would find the means and the way to get me there. But there's no question that the hope makes this a lot easier.
And when you talk to the other Frosh at Georgia Tech, are there a lot of kids there who are there because of the Hope Scholarship Program?
Definitely. You have to consider the fact that Tech students are kind of like the Uber leaders of their high school. Like, they're the people, most of them are the people that were involved, they were prominent in their community and things of that sort. So you have to consider the fact that they're the students that would be accepted to institutions of higher learning outside of the state. So when you meet these people and you say, you know, well, hey, what are you doing here, blah, 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 they're like, oh, well, you know, I can get the same education here in Georgia with the same curriculum, and they're paying my tuition. I mean, I've run across students who I say, what are you studying for, you know, and I'm expecting them to say, computer science or something, because that's the hardest class here. And they say, I'm studying so I can keep the hope, because they want to be here, and that's what's keeping them here.
Sounds like you've got a poster child for your scholarship program there, Ben.
Oh, she's outstanding. Yes, we were with her on Monday of this week.
Christina, just one last question. When you were in high school, did you set your sights on that B average, knowing that that was a level of achievement which was going to guarantee you a certain quality of college education?
I set my sights on a high GPA because of my personality. That's the way I am. I'm the kind of person that wants to do well, and if I'm not doing well, then I'm not happy. The Hope Scholarship, to me, wasn't something that I particularly kept in mind when I was going through high school, because to me, the Hope Scholarship's not really about the money that you're getting. Yes, it's nice to receive the tuition money, but to me, it's more about the motivation. Like, for me, I always made good grades, so it was never a question of whether or not I'd be getting the Hope. But for my best friend, like I said on Monday, my best friend started working end of her junior year to pull her C average to a B plus, so she could get the Hope, because her parents wouldn't send her to college without it. So there were friends around me, left or right, realizing, oh my gosh, I don't have a B average, I can't get the Hope, my parents aren't going to let me go to college. So I was helping people left and right figure out calculus, economics, everything.
Christina, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you on the program. Christina Cedar is a freshman at Georgia Tech and a Hope Scholarship winner. Let's bring Patricia Marin into the conversation. Patricia, you're a researcher at Harvard University with the Civil Rights Project, and your study of this shift that we're talking about, and you're not focusing specifically on the Hope Scholarship Program, but on the state, the type of state scholarship program that we're talking about here, right?
Where the studies that are included in this report look at four of the existing scholarships. So Hope is one that we have looked at, but we've also looked at the scholarships in Michigan and Florida and New Mexico.
We're trying to get a sense of the bigger picture here. And what's your conclusion? What's the bottom line of what you discovered in looking at the way that merit scholarships are changing the way that students are getting money or changing the way the schools are working?
Well, what each of these studies tend to demonstrate, and I think it's important to say that this research emphasizes a lot of research that's already out there. So it's supporting knowledge that we have that says that these scholarships are disproportionately giving funds to students who would already go to college. So as some of the goals of the programs talk about access, it's not changing access as much as changing choice, which I think Christina's story demonstrates very well, that her parents were going to send her to college. They would have found the way to send her to college. It would have been difficult, as it is for many families right now. But this made a change in choice. So it wasn't giving her the opportunity to go to college. It made her choose to go from maybe some out-of-state institution or maybe a private institution to go to the University of Georgia. Now, obviously, there are some beneficial reasons for Georgia for that, mm-hmm. to keep students in-state. And Glenn may want to talk more about those. But that's the concern. What are we using public dollars for? And are we using them as effectively as we can to benefit the people that need them the most?
And the shift that you're talking about, you start back in the 60s and 70s talking about the fact that money used to go on a greater percentage basis to underprivileged students.
Sure.
So is that money moving from them to middle-class students like Christina?
Well, it's hard to compare some of these funding sources. A lot of these funding sources we're talking about are actually new funding sources that are from the lottery, as Glenn talked about. Mm-hmm. Things like Pell Grants and work-study programs that were created a while ago were created because people were concerned about access to college, about providing opportunities where folks didn't have them. And particularly, we were talking about low-income students, funding students who, but for some kind of assistance, would not have the opportunity. So it wasn't only about making things easier, it was about making them possible at all. And that's really what some of those programs are doing. So now what we're looking at and what we want to be watching is these new mechanisms that states are using, where dollars are being shifted or not increased as much in need programs, if at all, in the way they are for merit programs.
Glenn Newsom, what do you think about the suggestion that programs that are similar to yours and yours may be shifting money away from the underprivileged kids?
Well, I don't think it has to be an either or proposition. The Hope Scholarship Program was created by then Governor Miller. We wanted to focus on academic achievement here in Georgia. We needed to have more of our citizens to go to school beyond high school. And by any measure, it's been successful in keeping our citizens here and getting more of our citizens to go to school beyond high school. At the time, in 1993, we had about $3 million in a need-based program in Georgia. If you include the Pell, we now, if a student is HOPE eligible and Pell eligible, and Pell is a need-based grant program at the federal level, they can receive both of those funds to go to school here in Georgia. This year, we estimate that is between $50 and $70 million that we are sending to need-based families. They're both HOPE eligible and Pell eligible. So if you look at that population, they're receiving more today than they were in 93. So I think that a merit-based program can, in fact, help need-based families.
Connection listeners, we're talking about what's happening with college assistance. Last year, $75 billion in college assistance handed out in this country, a significant jump over the amount that was handed out in years previous. And we're taking a hard look at who's getting it and who's benefiting by it, and interested in hearing from you on whether or not you think the money should be handed out based on academic achievement or financial need, or how that mix can be worked out. Our number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. Listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. Our number's 1-800-423-8255. We're talking about merit scholarships this hour. And with us from Atlanta, Georgia, Glenn Newsom, Executive Director of Georgia's Student Finance Commission. It's an agency that administers Georgia's HOPE Scholarship Program. It's the oldest and largest in the country, 10 years old, in fact. And Patricia Marin is with me. She's a research associate at the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University and recently helped complete a study called Who Should We Help? The Negative Social Consequences of merit scholarships. So, Patricia, what is, in your mind, the principal negative social consequence of a merit scholarship?
I think it's the negative consequence is not educating all the students who could benefit in a state and not providing these publicly funded dollars, not providing these dollars to students who need it the most. Mm-hmm. The scholarships that we talk about in our study don't have income caps. And that, to us, is very significant.
Okay, let's be specific about that. Means if I'm a lawyer, I'm making $250,000, and my daughter qualifies for a Hope Scholarship, I get the money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and there's two pieces to that. There's the piece that, as I've mentioned earlier, that if you don't need the money, you can still get it. And so that's one of the concerns. The other concern in a theoretical way, as we define merit, and you talked earlier about who deserves these, the concern that we have is that the methods that are used to define merit, these achievement-type methods, are linked to income. So that we know already how, by income and by race and ethnicity, students and communities play out when they take the SAT, or in which some scholarships, not Georgia's, use to define merit, and even somewhat with grades. And so the lawyer that you mentioned who's making $250,000, it's likely that his or her children have gone to wonderful schools and have all kinds of support programs. So it's not surprising that they're going to do well on the SAT or have good grades with the kinds of resources they have. And so they'll get the Georgia scholarship because they merit it, according to the definition that's created. But then they don't really need the money. And so I think that the deserving concept is something that is interesting. We're not saying here that we don't want to reward and recognize academic excellence. That's very important. It's important to get people to strive to do better and to continue to do well in school, both in high school and in college. But at what expense are we doing that? And do we, to reward that excellence, do we need to give people full rides at college? Or are there other ways to do it, or different ways based on income levels?
Glenn Newsom, you started out with an income cap on the Hope Scholarship Program, but then you took it off.
That's correct. When we started the program, the first year of the program, we had a $66,000 income cap, and then the second year of the program, we increased that to $100,000. In the third year of the program, we removed the income cap. The primary reason, because this scholarship focuses on the student's academic achievement and not the parent's income. Again, what we wanted to do was incent Georgia students to do well in high school so that they could go to college beyond high school. And that was the goal of it, and we wanted to keep our best and brightest in Georgia. In 1993, we kept 23% of the students who scored 1,500 to 1,600 on the SAT stayed in Georgia to go to school beyond high school. Last year, 76% of those students stayed in Georgia.
But you know that your harsh critics will say, what the heck are you doing giving $3,000 or $5,000 to Ted Turner's son to go to university in Georgia?
Because Ted Turner's son earned it. He worked hard and he made the academic achievement. And the most important message of the Hope Scholarship Program is that academic achievement is important. And what that's done, it's changed the conversation around the dinner table at night here in Georgia, where we're now talking about, have you got to be average in your core curriculum courses? Are you on track to do well in college? That conversation has led, as you heard Christina talk about, her friends were, when I was in the ninth grade, I didn't know what a GPA was. They now are calculating their GPA and finding out where they are. So I think that's the most important message, is that if you're willing to work, it's not about how hard your parents worked. It's about how hard you work. You've got to take responsibility for what you do, and if you work, you're going to earn this.
In response to that, Glenn, I think what comes to mind for me is and really what this report is about and contributes to the broader discussion on this, is thinking differently and thinking more broadly about, again, these issues of merit, of deserving, and of earning. It's hard to compare, in my mind, Ted Turner's child, as you referenced, someone who has everything in life, someone who has access to the best of everything, academically and otherwise, and what that student is able to achieve on an SAT test versus someone who works full-time in addition to going to high school, who isn't able to participate in extracurriculars because of those kinds of commitments. And really, we can look at their SAT score or GPA, let's say, as maybe more of someone overcoming barriers. And so for me, it's and this is, I think, needs to become part of the discussion. I wish I had an answer to this, but it's
I mean,
how
Glenn
do
saying
we...
that the federal money is there to, right, in a way address some of that. Are you saying, in sum, that with the growth of the state programs and the growth in the amount of scholarship money that's coming from there, that the money coming for needs-based students, for the underprivileged kids, may not be keeping pace, that we may be, you know, educating the upper and middle class and more ignoring the kids who don't fit those categories?
Yeah, the information that we have, and of course it's always subject to latest data, but or how you calculate the data, but as of 2002, the 12 states that we list as following these same criteria combined awarded $863 million in merit scholarships in 2000-2001, which is almost three times the amount of need-based aid that was around $308 million. So that's huge. Now, yes, you know, we recognize that some of these merit scholarships, as Glenn indicated, are going to be going towards students who have need and that they're also getting Pell Grants. But this difference is saying something, I think, philosophically even, on where we're putting dollars.
All right. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Let's start in Newton, Massachusetts. Carol's joining us on the line. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks for calling.
Good. I am very concerned. I'd like to direct this question to Mr. Newsom. The HOPE Foundation, or the HOPE Project, whatever it's called, the HOPE Grant,
yeah,
does this grant track minorities and women? I'd like to know the percentage of those. And the second thing is, I'm not quite sure that I would think his organization is very viable if he doesn't have statistics on where these Georgia young people or college students end up after college.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Sure. We do not track by race or gender. However, a study at the University of Georgia has shown that our black enrollment rates have increased at both our public and private colleges. In fact, they increased 21% and 16% respectively between 1993 and 97, and the professors that did that study credit that to HOPE primarily.
Okay, and that sort of answers my first question, but what about the second question? Why wouldn't you track? I mean, if you're a viable organization getting public money, wouldn't that be required?
What is it that you would be looking for in that tracking, Carol? What part of this puzzle you think is missing at this point?
I think Mr. Newsom contradicted himself. I think in the beginning you might have asked, you know, so these students stay in the state, and then the second thing I heard Mr. Newsom say was that these students do stay in state. But he had earlier denied that there was any studies done on this. So how do they, I mean, if I gave money to someone, they promised, okay, I'm going to work for the state because you gave me this money to educate myself.
You may have put two things together. When I said stay in state, what I was saying that was that they stay in state to go to university. I wasn't actually saying that they stay in state once they graduate, Carol. But yeah. But thanks for your call. I mean, I hear the questions that you're asking. 1-800-423-8255 to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Jimmy's joining us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed it a lot. You could spend a whole hour probably or more discussing whether or not college adequately prepares students for success in the outside world or whether it prepares them for success merely in the academic setting. But given that we are talking just about academic success, it makes sense to me to base it on merit in school. That, if we're going to talk about underlying social issues and who's getting to college and who's not for whatever reasons, then that seems like a different show. But if we're talking about academia and success in academia, it makes sense that if you're going to continue your education, that you should play the game while you're in high school.
It's, you know, though, It's all a little bit of social engineering, if you want to look at it that way, because what the state of Georgia is doing is trying to keep its smart kids at state universities, at private universities in Georgia. That's a political aim, which, you know, while it benefits the kids, also benefits the states. The politicians have an interest in that. At the same time, Jimmy, the money that goes to students who might be considered the most needy is also a type of social engineering. So at that level, there's not a lot that distinguishes them, is there?
Well, it doesn't seem like we're doing a lot, for instance, to help people who are financially behind the ball, so to speak, change the way they think. You know, I mean, we don't have any social programs that make people that are in depressed areas want to succeed in school when they have so many other issues to deal with in their daily lives. And I'm talking about, like, it seems like college and higher education is in its very nature geared towards people who have an easier lifestyle than people who are in different areas of the country that aren't succeeding academically. Now, we don't have many social programs in place that make, you know, that make the basic changes in people's lives.
Hang on just half a sec, Jimmy. I want to let Patricia in here.
Okay.
I think what's interesting in what you're talking about, Jimmy, is it comes to a fundamental question of what is the role of higher education. And in particular, as we look at where these scholarships are often being used, is what is the role of public higher education? And so I think it is about achieving, giving access. It is about helping increase the benefits that you can give to all of the students. And it's not about judging who we can do best with because they already are at a high standard of living. But it is about bringing people into academia, if that's what they choose, so that they can have better future long-range opportunities, which, again, is going to help the state. It doesn't help the state, which is why Georgia's interested in keeping some of its smartest students there. It doesn't help the state if it has uneducated citizens in it. And that's important. Getting back to your initial comment on, you know, using merit and issues of school, recently, actually the same day that we released our report, MALDEF and FairTest filed a lawsuit against Florida and their Bright Futures Scholarship. And the reason they did is that their main argument is that SAT scores were never intended to measure high school achievement. SAT scores, even the College Board, who designs the tests, say that those test scores, number one, should never be used as a sole measure for anything, and number two, really look more towards potentially first-year grades in college.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Glenn Newsom, let me hear from you on,
sure,
on the point that Patricia began on, and that is, how do we regard post-secondary education? What's the point of it? I mean, because we really are talking of philosophy here at one level.
Absolutely. Well, what we're talking about is to provide our citizens with the skills for success in the future. And what demographers tell us is that success in the future is going to be defined by your education level. In fact, success in the past, if you measure success in terms of dollars, people who have advanced degrees tend to make more money than people who do not have advanced degrees. So that's what we are pushing towards. I would like to make one comment, though, about the Hope Scholarship Program. Mm-hmm. If you're in a certificate or a diploma program in Georgia, then you do not have to have a B average. In other words, in our technical colleges today, any Georgian can go in, start in a certificate, certified nursing program, do well, and then transfer into a college. So we've increased articulation here between our technical colleges and our regular colleges, and again, ready to help students. I briefly, let me make a comment about the SAT, because Dr. Marin is exactly on target about students from higher incomes tend to make better grades and tend to make better scores on the SAT. And that is one reason we did not use the SAT. We measure it solely on the B average. It's not about one time taking a test. It's about 4 years of high school and preparation for success in college.
But help me with something on this, though, sure, Glenn, because you did make the point early in the program that the Hope Scholarship has been so successful that the grade point average, the test score level of the students who are qualifying for Georgian colleges is going up. And if what I've studied about the achievement gap and the difficulty that the underprivileged high school students have is accurate, isn't there the risk that they get left further and further behind as the standards for entrance to university go up and up with the incentives from the state merit money?
I think there probably is that risk, but there's also, if you don't go to the Georgia Tech or the University of Georgia, there are other colleges where you can start, or you can start in a technical college. The thing that we want to have is more of our students aspiring to go to school beyond high school. And that's what's happening in Georgia, and that, I think that's a success.
Patricia, when you study this, how much of it has to do, in your view, with politics, with the idea that a state needs to be concerned about its state, and rather than the more philosophical questions that we're talking about?
I think any of us doing this work would be foolish if we think it didn't involve politics. It is that's a big part of it, and I always find it interesting reading articles where there may be legislators in the past who've talked about trying to make some changes, mm-hmm. in particular to HOPE, and the reaction and response that they get is, oh no.
Don't mess with
don't bother touching this. And so I think that's the challenge in kind of the work that we do and the issues we want to, you know, raise, is that thinking about, you know, are there ways that these policies can be changed that are realistic? But more broadly, in the states that don't have these yet, learn from these lessons. And is this what you want to happen?
Connection listeners, our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. As you contemplate the different ways that students can get assistance for going to university, do you see inequities or corrections that need to be built into either the needs-based system or the merit-based system? Do you have an experience in your own life that shines a little bit of light on this that you'd care to share with us? 1-800-423-8255. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
Funding for The Connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. We're talking about achievement and income this hour, asking whether college scholarships should be awarded on merit or financial need. My guest, Patricia Marin, she's a research associate at the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University. Glenn Newsom is executive director of Georgia Student Finance Commission, an agency that runs the HOPE Scholarship Program. And we're joined now by Ken Fritzma. Ken is director of financial aid at Grand Valley University in Allendale, Michigan. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
Now, you'll see students coming through your office who have in their hand a merit scholarship. You'll be seeing other students who have the needs-based scholarship. Is that right?
That's correct.
Are you seeing any kind of a change in the balance or the shift? Because Michigan has one of these merit-based scholarship programs.
Yeah, I don't think our student population has changed at all. The new Michigan merit scholarship program, again, has just made it easier for middle-income families and higher-income families to pay the bill. Needy students, we're still struggling with in terms of trying to find the resources to assist them.
So there are some students who still aren't being helped.
That's correct. I think access to the college has declined because of the fact that there's not additional monies being put into need-based financial aid.
What do you think would work, Ken? Do you think that finding a way of adapting the merit-based programs to take a certain percentage or introducing an income cap, are those ways of going, or is it simply a matter of going back to Washington, banging on the door and saying, you guys have to pony up on the Pell Grants?
Well, I'm not opposed to rewarding good students. I guess I feel that public dollars should be used effectively, and I think public dollars should be earmarked for based on need. I don't think the public dollars should be going to help kids go to college whose family income they could well afford to pay.
When you talk about public dollars, do you include in that money like the Georgia money that's coming from a state lottery, which was set up specifically for this program?
Well, but those are state dollars. I mean, the lottery is state-run, and the funds funnel into the state. Here in Michigan, they're using the tobacco settlement dollars to fund the Merit Scholarship Program, but those are state dollars.
And are the politicians hearing that message, Ken, or are you still seeing the sort of passion for the merit base that we're hearing from some folks today?
Well, certainly I think the politicians are, trying to do more for the middle income. I think we need to do a better job like Patricia is doing and trying to make the case for more need-based aid, that access is a problem, that there are a lot of students who are not being able to attend college because they don't have the funds.
The students that Ken's talking about, Patricia, the ones that he's seeing that are getting missed, do you think by taking something like the merit-based scholarship, reintroducing an income cap, saying, you know, if you are Ted Turner's kid, you don't get the money, and then shifting some of that to need is a way of going? Is that something you think that might work?
I think it's definitely possible, and it's definitely something worth trying. Other things that, again, may help with this as we look at either the scholarships that exist or creating additional scholarships, as other states may be discussing right now, is looking at the criteria that are used to define this merit. So that's important. The other thing that I think is important to add to the conversation is that as a number of these folks start to come into the universities now for the first time or being shifted from other institutions, that often they can't maintain their scholarship. They're not able to maintain their grade point average that's required to continue the dollars. And what we see in many states is once they lose the scholarship, a good proportion of those end up leaving. So another piece of it then is not only about shifting dollars, but it's about additional types of programs that are needed as we're bringing new types of students into schools.
All right. Ken Pritzma, thanks a lot for being with us.
You're welcome.
Ken is Director of Financial Aid at Grand Valley University in Allendale, Michigan. 1-800-423-8255 puts you in touch with us. We're going to Durham, North Carolina now, and Bruce is on the line. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Dick. I want to first of all thank your staff for keeping me advised as to my waking and let me know that they hadn't forgot about me.
Right.
And secondly, I want to say that, listen, I grew up on, you're talking to a fellow who grew up on possum. And that's if you didn't catch a possum that day, you didn't have dinner that night. My mom raised three kids, peeling shrimp at a shrimp plant for $5 an hour, and of course I didn't know this until she died on her 46th birthday. I always wanted to do well in school, but I started as a prep chef when I was 15 years old, and I'll try to speed this up, but at 15 years old I was working as a prep chef in a 4-star restaurant in Florida, and to help my family get along. Now, I had no hope in hell of going to college. I went to school because it was free for the most part, but I ended up having to have to join the Marine Corps in order to, and I know that a lot of poor guys who grew up in a poor family joined the military for the hope of going to college. Now I'm sitting right now at Durham Tech. I'm 37 years old and I'm still chasing that dream of getting a college education. I'm sitting right now at Durham Tech doing math homework just before my class here, and it's taken me this long to get it.
Bruce, now you heard us describe the Hope Scholarship earlier in the program that you would have had to have a B average right through high school. So if you'd been in Georgia at the time when you were younger, if the program like that had been in place, would you have made it?
I would have been able to make it if someone had just reached down and smacked me and said, hey, because in ninth grade, you have to start from ninth grade, son, and maintain a B average through 12th. But in ninth grade, you're still a kid. You're still running around with your friends. You're still, the best part of school is just being there with your friends and having fun, laughing and joking. It needs to, I mean, someone would have had to have kept me on track. I did not get on track until I was in my sophomore year or into my sophomore year. And that's, I mean, because when I got out of school, I went straight to work. And that, you know, half the time I had very little time to do my homework. And when I did, I was so sleepy.
Stick with us for a minute, if you would, Bruce Glenn. The circumstances that Bruce is describing are the sort that put him in the category of people who'd have a hard time qualifying for a Hope Scholarship.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dick. And Bruce, I would urge you to continue to follow your dream and get that college degree. And that's one reason in Georgia we have, Bruce is what we would call a non-traditional student. And we allow students who may have been to college years ago, may not have ever gone to college. If you go to college in Georgia, you get 30 hours or the end of a first year, and you have a B average, then you become Hope eligible for your sophomore, junior, and senior year. So it's not just the traditional student that we think about that graduates from high school, goes directly into college. It's the non-traditional student like Bruce that wants to make things better for himself and his family. And that's why we're offering Hope here in Georgia. In addition, Dr. Marion mentioned about retention. Many of our students do lose hope after the first year. In fact, a lot of students lose college after the first year, as Dr. Marion knows from her research. But they can regain it. We have a second chance and a third chance provision. You can gain it at the end of your sophomore year at 60 hours or at 90 hours, provided you've got that 3.0. So we try to keep hope alive for all of our students throughout their college career.
Bruce, thanks for your call.
Hey, can I say one more thing, Dick?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. I'm the first in the line of three Johnsons, and I'm the very first, and I'm the youngest to get to college. And I would not have been able to do it if I had known about the B average. It might have been a little bit easier, but I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. But thank you so much, Dick, and thanks again to your staff for
helping
me.
I'll join Glenn in wishing you all the best in your studies.
Chemical engineering is what I'm studying for.
You great. Call me when you get that degree, all right?
Come to Georgia.
Yeah, right. 1-800-423-8255. And to Cary, North Carolina, Richard's been waiting on the line. Hi, Richard.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, how many students in Georgia, needs-based students, are not getting to college because of some of the proposed problems with the money going to middle and upper class? Is that actually a problem, that needs-based students are not able to go?
Glenn, can you help us on that one?
I think there's always going to be need-based students. We don't know how many need-based students are not going to college. We do know that we now today in Georgia have more Pell-eligible students than ever before that are going to college. We think that's a direct correlation back to Hope, that, again, we've got 10 years of this, and we've said for 10 years, if you're willing to work, we're going to help you with Hope, and Pell is available there for you. We've, in fact, tried to get some comparisons on Pell eligible, and we're working with the feds now to see if we can see at that number. But the number of students on Pell has increased.
I just wonder if I can take Richard's question, Glenn, to
sure.
one more level in terms of what the scholarship is meant to be, though, because you speak about it as a reward for scholastic achievement, and you talk about it as an incentive for better performance, but one of the things that Patricia was saying is that the better performance writ large has to do with, you know, how the state takes care of all people. And I'm as much as I hear your enthusiasm for the Hope Scholarship, I'm still left wondering whether or not there isn't more room in something like that for the needs-based students, that it doesn't necessarily have to be either or. What do you think?
The HOPE program is not need-based. I mean, clearly that's been defined today.
Right.
But Georgia ranks number one in the nation in the percent of the undergraduate students who receive state-financed aid to go to school beyond high school. For 5 years in a row, we've ranked number one. Last year, 73% of our undergraduate students received some type of aid to go to school beyond high school. Now, granted, most of that is HOPE-related. But I think I started out the program saying it doesn't have to be an either-or proposition. Last year, we implemented a LEAP program. It's only $1.5 million, but it's a start. That's for truly needy-based, and Dr. Marion will know about that program. It's federally matched. So I think that the main dialogue you want to have with politicians, and you've got to live in the real world of practical politics, is that it's important for people to go to school beyond high school and to be successful.
I think, Glenn, though, what I'd like to see is who's number one in awarding need-based scholarships and who's number one in bringing students into schools that aren't going to school right now. Those are the statistics we need to know. In increasing enrollment rates, are we increasing them to all of the institutions equally? Are students equally eligible for these scholarships? For example, in Florida, we know that while African Americans represent 22% of all high school graduates in Florida, they're only receiving 8% of that state's scholarship. So we're seeing things not play out evenly and comparing just to one group. For example, while whites are 61% of high school graduates, they're getting 77% of the scholarship. So those kinds of differences and what concerns us, I guess, is the places people are enrolling. Is everyone going to the University of Georgia? No, they're going to other institutions. So that's something that needs to be examined as we consider ongoing racial stratification of our higher ed systems.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Glenn, back to you on that point.
Well, again, HOPE is not a need-based program.
I get that. I just wonder if you can place HOPE in the larger context, in your view, whether or not, you know, what we're looking at is a society now that is swinging towards that type of support for that part of the political constituency.
Well, we're looking at a world where academic achievement is important. We're looking at a world where you need to be successful, and you need to provide incentive to students to understand that. And you can talk about to a student about earning $2 million more in a lifetime if you've got a college degree and their eyes will glaze over. But if you tell them, we're going to pay your tuition next year, this coming fall, we're going to pay it, then that resonates with students and it resonates with parents.
Glenn, I want to thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate the opportunity and always good to hear from Dr. Marion.
Glenn Newsom, Executive Director of Georgia Student Finance Commission. Patricia Marin, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Patricia is Research Associate at the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University. Earlier on the program, we talked with Christina Cedar, freshman at Georgia Tech and HOPE Scholarship winner. Ken Fridsma was also with us. He's Director of Financial Aid at Grand Valley University in Allendale, Michigan. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Funding for The Connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. We'll be right back.